Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Good day, Mark. How are you?
Fine.
We're talking today about a particularly relevant topic to you, and that's knee disease. We're going to talk in a moment about a specific type of knee disease, but, you know, in my years in practice, there have been just a host of different methods that have been proposed to treat knee pain. Obviously, in addition to surgery, there's eccentric training and the injection of steroids and prolotherapy and glycerol trinitrate patches, and the list goes on and on and on. And you know, there's complementary and alternative approaches and capsaicin, et cetera. Injections seem to be back in vogue for lots of different things. And prolotherapy basically is defined as injecting non-medical irritants into the musculoskeletal tissues to promote some sort of healing. Unfortunately, few of these treatments have really been shown to be consistent in their effectiveness, and the evidence for most of these treatments is sparse. Again, in my own practice, it is remarkable how many of my sports medicine team are using these prolotherapies, despite the lack of prospective or randomized studies comparing treatment options. There was a recent study published in the BMJ looking at autologous blood injections. I don't know if you saw that. This involves a reinjection of the patient's own whole blood, and, you know, relatively novel. It's become increasingly popular for the treatment of tendinitis and Achilles heel pain and knee pain, et cetera. I don't quite understand the proposed mechanism of taking your blood and injecting it into a place where it's not supposed to be. But a recent study that I was referring to, great methodology, randomized study, showed that the administration of two unguided autologous blood injections 1 month apart, in addition to some standardized physical therapy, provided no benefit in that particular case. They were looking only at Achilles tendinopathy. Anyways, you've chosen an article a little bit different. In this particular case, they're injecting dextrose. It's for knee arthritis. It's published in the Annals of Family Medicine, 2013, Volume 11, and this particular article starts on page 229. The question that they're attempting to answer is, does dextrose prolotherapy, is it effective in treating patients with degenerative joint disease, specifically of the knee? And it is a randomized controlled trial. Mark, what did they find in that study?
Yeah, this is something that supposedly has been around for thousands of years and was rediscovered in the 30s, you know, like kind of like leaching, I guess, maybe. but, you know, it's this was a well-designed study. The researcher, David Rabigo, is at the University of Wisconsin in family medicine there, and he presented this work at the NAPCRAG meeting last year. And they took 90 patients who had moderate or severe OA of the knee, and a third of them got this dextrose prolotherapy, where they inject this dextrose, which is meant to irritate the cartilage and promote, probably the idea is to promote healing, promote growth, promote, you know, improvement in symptoms. A third got just a saline injection, and a third just got home exercise. And the groups who got the injection, they did a careful job of blinding both the injector and the patient to what they were getting. They didn't blind the exercise versus injection groups. And so they gave injections at 1 week, 5 weeks, 9 weeks. The physician had the option to do one at 13 and 17 weeks if the patient, you know, was not responding. And then they offered some opiates before each injection and for a week after each injection. And they were told to rest the knee after the injections. And they looked at how they were doing up to 52 weeks later. So one of the strengths of the study is they didn't just look 4 weeks later. They looked up to a year. And at the end of the study, everyone had improved, okay? So it's kind of a Lake Wobegon outcome. And on the WOMAC scale, which is like the Western Ontario something, McMaster's arthritis something. Anyway, it's the WOMAC, which is used in all these arthritis studies. And with apologies to the WOMAC people, it's a 100-point scale. And the biggest improvement was in the prolotherapy group. They had a 15-point improvement, which is clinically significant. Mm. The other two groups, the saline and the home exercise, only had about 7 or 8 points of improvement. And when you have a scale like this, one of the things you think about is what they call the minimally minimal clinically important difference. I mean, if you have a big enough study, you can find a statistically significant difference if it's only 2 points out of 100, like in some Alzheimer's studies. Does that really matter? Probably not. Generally, you want to look for at least a 10-point improvement. And here they saw a 15-point improvement. Now, the caveat is the difference between placebo and prolotherapy was a little under 10 points. So I would say this was probably borderline clinically significant. But, you know, very interesting stuff. It certainly suggests we need to see perhaps another couple of studies, maybe in different hands. This was, I think, one person doing most of the injections. And see if you can get similar findings. There have been other studies of prolotherapy, not as carefully designed, that have shown some benefit. Because of its invasiveness, I guess I'm a little hesitant to kind of blanket endorse it, given that it's pretty invasive and this was a pretty small study. But it's a pretty common problem, and it would be nice if we had something that would be helpful and safe.
Your caveats and your explanation I thought were great, and this whole importance of clinically important for statistically important, you hit that right in the head. I just am always overwhelmed, particularly when it comes to arthritis, with some of the crazy things that we do and some of the things that have been shown to work. I mean, for example, you and I have talked about this in the past, but it's never made any sense to me why if you take shark cartilage, you know, and you eat it, it goes into your digestive system and you digest it, why that should affect your knee or your shoulder or your hips. But there are studies that show that it does. This, again, if you put some sugar water into the, I don't understand the physiology here, and it may just be my naivete, but boy, it's interesting that they had a, as you say, borderline clinically significant outcome with sugar.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly says to me, you know, there may be something here. We should pay attention to this, kind of be aware of it. Yeah. You know, there is a, you know, National Institute for Complementary Alternative Medicine that, you know, I think will probably fund some more trials. Unfortunately, there's no National Institute for Primary Care Medicine, but that's another topic.
But I wonder if we did a study, maybe we should try to inject oil. Wouldn't that be better than sugar?
Or inject the shark cartilage directly or another trial.
Right, or grease or something. Anyways, Mark, we're getting off base. I'll talk with you again next week.
All righty.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.